Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read the first 7 verses, but we'll be just emphasizing really verse 7. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen, and God will bless the reading from his word.
Your NIV Pew Bible says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not blaspheme in any way. That's what it means. The Times newspaper suggests that the blasphemy laws in our land should be abolished, because the newspaper says no one understands the laws anyway. The Times newspaper says the concept of an offence to God is beyond the philosophical concept of most Englishmen. In other words, blasphemy, for the people of the United Kingdom, blasphemy is beyond their whole way of thinking. It's beyond their comprehension. And that's true, isn't it? Taking God's name in vain doesn't even register with the majority of people. But God hasn't changed. And God's law has not changed. The only thing that's changed in the situation is the people. Isn't that right? And the people of the United Kingdom are becoming more base. They're becoming more ignorant than what they were. But we're moving on, all right. Moving downwards. The downward spiral. Becoming more primitive and beast-like in our conversation. They call it advance and development, but is it? Technology advances and develops and moves on. Yes. But the people, well, ethically, philosophically, morally, they're becoming more like monkeys every day. But God says, thou shalt not have Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So that's my first point. Blasphemy is wrong. What's the meaning of this commandment? Well, thou shalt not take. The word take means lift up. Raise. Thou shalt not raise, lift up the name of the Lord your God. Now that word Lord in the Hebrew is Yahweh. And it means the covenant keeping holy God. You see, names, when they were given to people in the Bible, were always a reflection of the person's character. Every name had a meaning. And to misuse or slander somebody's name was to misuse and mock the person's character. So this third commandment is not merely about the misuse of a word consisting of four Hebrew consonants, Yahweh, but it's an abuse of all that the name means. Thou shalt not raise up the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now that word vain means misuse in the NIV. Lightly, frivolously, or profanely. Don't raise God's name and reflect on God's character frivolously or profanely in a light-hearted manner, if you like. Don't take the name of God in vain. Now, how do people take God's name in vain? Well, there are many examples in the Bible. And the great Puritan Thomas Watson, who has written a book on the Ten Commandments, he lists 12 ways that you can break this commandment. And each way he names has about 4 or 5 sub-points. So that would have been a very long sermon. I'm not going to use that. You take God's name in vain when you use his name as a swear word. An example is Leviticus chapter 24, verses 11 to 16. There's an Israelite woman, and she blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. Now God said that she was to be stoned to death. Now if you think that's a bit hard, that's only because you haven't a clue about God's nature. The God of the Bible takes his name and his laws and sin very, very seriously. Everlasting hell for one sin. But if you use God's name as a swear word, that's taking his name in vain. But also, you can lift up God's name in false worship. Like in Numbers 26, verse 61, there are two priests, and they thought they would just worship God the way they wanted to. They set aside what God said, and they decided to do it their way, and God killed them. They died before the presence of the Lord. Two priests. You see, if people are pretending to worship God and doing things that God hasn't told them to do, well then, they're not really worshipping God. They're lifting up his name in vain. The test of true worship, let me give you a quote, is not whether it makes us happy, but whether it makes us holy. Not whether it pleases us, but whether it pleases God. After all, he is to be the centre of worship, isn't that right? Not us. So therefore, it's important what he wants, not what we want, because he's the centre. But see, false worship, taking God's name in vain, is also things like this. And this spoke to me when I read it. We can sing about God's character in great, wonderful words, very descriptive words in some of the choruses and hymns. And we can sing those words, and at the same time, our minds are 1,000 miles away. Or we can sing in our hymns of deep service and commitment to God, and in the words of the hymns, we pledge our life and soul to God's service. But in reality, we have no intention of leaving the building any different from the way we come in. The book that I was reading gave a quote and it said, Christians do not tell lies, they just sing them in their hymns. But is that not lifting up God's name in vain if we don't mean it? It's vain, there's no purpose in it if we don't mean it. And then, how else can we lift up God's name in vain? By giving false messages in God's name. What I mean is false prophecies. The Lord says this. The Lord says that, when most certainly the Lord has not said that. Now the Bible's full of this. Jeremiah and Ezekiel and many other passages. Especially in Jeremiah, God says that there were false prophets who speak lies in my name. In his name, you see. They say, God said this. But God says, I have not sent them. See, they're taking his name in vain. Prophecy, speaking in God's name, is very serious. It's not a frivolous thing. It's not a light-hearted thing. The person who prophesied falsely in the Bible was to be stoned. There's no room for error in true prophecy from God. None. Another way we can take God's name in vain is through mocking God. Now, we don't often do that. Sure, we don't. In fact, I would hope that we don't do it at all. But we know that in our country, people do mock God. But sometimes, you see, sometimes the behaviour of God's people leads the unsaved person to mock God. Remember David and Bathsheba in the Bible. David, the great king, all the nations around him, why they looked up to him. But then he committed that great sin. And you know, Nathan the prophet came to that king, King David, and rebuked King David. But you know what Nathan the prophet said? By doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. And that word contempt means blaspheme. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. By doing this, King David, you have made the enemies of God blaspheme by your life. Did you hear what King David did? Oh, after all, his God's not all that different from our gods. You read a similar thing in Exodus 32. Where the behaviour of God's people caused the heathen nations to take God's name in vain. And that's a breaking of the third commandment, when people mock God. But there's so many more, and I'm not going to go into any more detail. False oaths in God's name. Making a promise in God's name that you have no intention to keep. Just look at the courts. They vow to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then they all contradict each other in God's name. A false oath. And then another thing is, you take God's name in vain when you mishandle God's word. You say God says this, but he hasn't said that in his written word. And so you reinterpret various passages and say, well, God says this, he didn't actually mean that, he meant this. Well, we look at that in a short time. I don't want to go into it anymore now. But that's just a few of the ways that the third commandment can be broken. Now, I want to come to the second point. Blasphemy today. Blasphemy in practice today. Swear words. Swear words. If you looked up the name Jesus in the Oxford Concise English Dictionary, in the year 1979, it was published up, this version, the word Jesus, you would see the meaning there. It says, the founder of the Christian faith. But if you were to look up the word Jesus in the Oxford Concise English Dictionary, published in 1995, you would see there that the name Jesus means this: an exclamation of surprise and dismay. The name Jesus is an exclamation of surprise and dismay. And then after that, in brackets, it says, also the founder of the Christian religion. Now here's what a word expert says about that dictionary. The meaning, an exclamation of surprise or dismay, and then in brackets, the founder of the Christian faith. In other words, Jesus is to be understood first and foremost as a common expletive. That is something you say when you hit your finger with a hammer. And only secondarily is that word to be understood as the founder of the Christian faith. That's what that means, the brackets. Blasphemy is so common in our society, it's taught in the dictionaries. You know, you can tell people's social standing by how they swear about God. You ever notice that? There's a certain group of people and they use the word Christ or Jesus as their swear word. But with a little more refinement and a little more education, the word God, my God, comes into vogue, doesn't it? So you can judge people's so-called education and status by how they swear about God. But all blasphemy is sin. And all sin damns in hell. Northern Ireland is rife with it, like every other country. If you've ever taken God's name in vain, you'll be in the same hell as the worst IRA murderer. And you'll be there for just as long, the same eternity. All sin damns. None of it's decent. Don't think you can slander God's name and get away with it. His name is his character. Swear words are blasphemy today, aren't they? Secondly, giving false messages in God's name today. Raising God's name. What I'm talking about is this prophecy is becoming very popular. Now, I'm not talking about reading the prophecy books of the Bible. I'm talking about people who say that they're going to give a prophecy direct from God. Now, in some churches, and leaders, members, and even children are encouraged to wait on the Lord for a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge, and they are there to speak it out. They're encouraging even children to do it. Now, people need to be very, very careful in this area. Because to offer a prophecy, a revelation, as being direct from God, if it isn't from God, is blasphemy. God says this, and he didn't. And isn't it blatantly and scripturally very obvious that many of the prophecies offered in so-called charismatic churches today are not from God? Because they contradict the Bible. Now, I could give you hundreds, all right? I used to listen to them. They're such nonsense. But I'm going to give you one. A world-famous prophet, James Wright. Here's what he says. He says he received this message direct from God, and it's been published in magazines and books and everything. He says this: God says that he is about to anoint Christian musicians worldwide with the same anointing that he gave to the Beatles. Did you not know that according to this prophet, God anointed the Beatles to bring in a worldwide revival? Funny how God got it wrong, didn't he? Didn't happen. But God anointed the Beatles. I wonder, did this charismatic loony ever read any of the lyrics in the Beatles song? Anointed of God? Now that type of thing, and most of the rest of it, is absolute nonsense, because God most certainly didn't say that. And when you take God's name in vain, it's blasphemous. It's breaking the third commandment. To say that God said this when God did not say it is to take his name in vain. Let me give you another quote. In all the current debate about modern day prophecy, we read and hear very little about testing what is true. Isn't that right? And we read almost nothing about disciplining those that speak things which are obviously false. If anyone says, here's a message from God to you, and it's not, or it's wrong, he or she is lifting up God's name in vain. It's blasphemy. It's a misuse of God's name, as the NIV says. So you blaspheme today through swear words, through false messages in God's name, but also mocking God. When God is made fun of. You know that jokes about God and Jesus Christ are second in popularity only to jokes about sex. That's just a fact. Jokes about God are scheduled for the biggest audiences today. God, exclusively the Christian God, of course, not Allah, not the Hindu gods, just the Christian God, is the second most popular subject for comedians to joke about today in our country. That's just a fact. You see, it's blasphemy. And it's sad when some professing Christians are entertained by it too. Well, sometimes some of them don't protest against it. Sure they don't. I wouldn't want to be different. I wouldn't want to be thought as different. We're meant to be different. If you're the same as the world, you'll go to the same hell that the world's going to. Read your whole Bible. Sometimes, like King David and the Israelites, our lives can cause the unsaved to blaspheme. I've heard that a few times. Let me read a wee bit from this book. The behaviour of too many Christians today, and especially Christian leaders, is unquestionably causing the world to be contemptuous of our God. The world may blaspheme, but the Christian shares that guilt. Does God treat lightly those who give cause for his name and the name of his Son to be trampled underfoot? Christian leaders are forced out of their office by scandalous affairs or their money-grabbing greed, and the world sneers at their hypocrisy and the world sneers at their God. Other people encourage bizarre, unscriptural behaviour that leads a watching world to laugh at such crass stupidity and provides the world with an excuse for rejecting the Christian faith. Church members behave towards their leaders or towards one another in such a vicious, unloving way that even the world is disgusted. Christian businessmen conduct their trade in a way that appalls those who deal with them. I worked for a company in Lurgan. an elder. No one will deal with him anymore. The business has been opened under, I think, 6 different names. He owes that much money. No one will trade with him. Says he's a Christian. What a witness. These are all responsible for the blasphemy of a scornful world. It's true, isn't it? Blasphemy today, I'll only give you one more. When the word of God is mishandled. When someone gets up into the pulpit and preaches from the Bible and tells you something that the Bible doesn't say. And twists the Bible and says, God says this, not that. It's taking God's name in vain. When the plain teaching of God's word is changed or reinterpreted or twisted to mean the opposite of what it says. Have you ever heard that? Let me give you a few examples. The prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and be healthy. Come to Jesus and be wealthy. Come to Jesus and all will be well. Name it and claim it. What absolute nonsense. They take a few verses out of the Bible, completely out of their context, and they give a grotesquely false picture of what God says. God does not say, come to Jesus and all will be well. Come to Jesus and you'll never be sick. Come to Jesus and you'll have loads of money. Come to Jesus and be popular. No. Now Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. In this world you shall have tribulation. Come to Jesus and be wealthy, and all will go well. The apostle that God inspired to write the most of the New Testament was beaten, put in prison, starved, shipwrecked. The prosperity gospel is blasphemy. God does not say that. All will be well. God's name is blasphemed, you see, when God's word is mishandled and twisted. God's name is blasphemed, another example, through what some Christians are now saying about homosexual behavior. Oh yes, many professing Christians have thrown out passage after passage out of the Bible, and whatever's left, they have twisted it to mean the exact opposite of what it so obviously says. They say God's not against homosexuality. Now, that's nonsense. God is against homosexuality. God is against all sin. His word says so. But to twist the scriptures to take God's name in vain. There's so many things. Leadership in the church. Male or female. Eternal punishment. The doctrine of eternal punishment in hell. All things hasn't been twisted. The list's endless. Oh, God didn't mean that. That's not for us. That's just cultural, that teaching. It doesn't apply to us. Does God not say what he means? Does God not mean what he says? Is it not written to the church? Why not? You know why not? To most people who twist the scripture, the reason why they say those things is because the teaching of the Bible in those areas is not popular with an unsaved world. And the teaching of the Bible in those areas flows against the tide of popular opinion. And they say, but if I believed that, dear me, I'd stick out like a sore thumb, I'd be so different. Well, that's right. We're meant to be different. The Christian church is meant to be different from the world. The church is not meant to be a 5 years behind in time reflection of the world's thinking. No, the church is meant to be a reflection of God and what God says, not the world. The church is God's kingdom on earth. See, the problem with the twisting of the scripture by some people in churches in the UK is those people come to the scriptures as a judge. And they come to sift through God's word. And they come to decide as the authority what they believe and what they don't believe. And they sort it all out. Instead of coming to the Bible submissively and learning from what God so obviously says. But to twist the scriptures to take God's name in vain, it's to raise it up in vain. Don't blaspheme. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't say God doesn't say something if he does say it. Don't say God says something if he hasn't said it. Blasphemy is swearing in God's name, or false prophecy, or mocking, or mishandling God's word. And there's many other things, but I'm just going to finish. I want to ask a question. Why should we not blaspheme? See what it says there in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why? Why? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. No one who takes God's name in vain will be held as innocent. No one who takes God's name in vain will be acquitted. Have you ever? Then where do you stand? Guilty. If anyone thinks that the standard is becoming impossible, that is precisely the purpose of the Ten Commandments. They reveal the nature of the God that we worship, and this should cause us to tremble before him and drive us to the cross for forgiveness. What about you? Can I ask you in love, what about you? You know you're a sinner. You know all the blasphemers of history that didn't repent. They're all dead. And they've all been judged. And they're all in hell. What will you do? Jesus holds out to you a pardon. He can wipe the slate clean if you turn from your sin and trust him. All the sin, every time you've broken any of the commandments, will just be wiped away. Paid for by Jesus. Please, repent and believe Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Amen. Thank you.